All right, Proverbs chapter 2 here this morning. Proverbs chapter 2, as we continue our journey through Proverbs wisdom. Notice here verses 1 through 9 by way of introduction here this morning. Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 9. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. Now, as we continue this study of Proverbs here, I want you to notice again that this is addressed to Rehoboam, my son. Notice throughout the book of Proverbs, we've seen this. My son, Solomon is giving some teaching to Rehoboam. And then, as I've said, these are some things that we need to emphasize to the next generation, but we also need it for ourselves, because ultimately this is God speaking to us. So he says, my son, my daughter, consider these things. Now, this morning I want for us to look at the protection of wisdom. I am convinced that there are many who are vulnerable today because they are outside of God's wisdom, the protection that God's wisdom brings, even as we'll see in this chapter here. But again, as this is directed to Rehoboam, Solomon ultimately did not practice what he's teaching in this passage, even as we'll see here about the strange woman and all of that. But a lack of wisdom, again, leaves a person vulnerable. So how can we protect ourselves with God's wisdom? Now, right at the start here, I want you to notice two important words in this chapter, especially in the first part of Proverbs 2. You see the words if and then. If, then. All right, so if, as you see in the Bible, generally is a conditional word. If this is true, then this will be also the result. So if, then, as you see this passage, now it starts right here in verse 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thy ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures. Right? So notice the importance here of wisdom in our lives. First of all, we must have a receptive heart. If thou wilt receive my words. Hold your place here. Notice with me 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. The New Testament book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. I want you to notice the importance of receiving the Word of God as the Word of God. That's why I strive to preach through passages and all that on a general basis, because I want for you to see that it's God's words and not my words. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. Here Paul is dealing with the Thessalonian believers, and he is actually only there for a short time. Notice it says in verse 13, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." Notice ye received the word of God not as a word of men. This is not my message. This is something that God gave to me from his word. What Paul is saying here, this isn't our words of wisdom. This is God's word. So notice we are to receive the truth as it is the word of God. And notice the result that it'll have in our lives is that it will effectually work in those of us who believe. Of course, we must have faith mixed with the Word of God. Back in Proverbs chapter 2. So notice we must receive God's words in order to have this wisdom. But also we must hide God's commandments with thee. Notice, hide my commandments with thee. If we hide God's commands in our hearts. Again, Psalm 119, I want for us to see a few cross-references here in relation to how we are to receive God's words. Psalm 119, verses 9 through 11, we're to hide God's, notice specifically, God's commandments in our hearts. Psalm 119, verse 9, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments." I don't know if you are familiar with the hymn, "Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love." The hymn, "Come Thou Fount." Well, that was written by a man who actually did go astray. He was prone to wander. In fact, according to this story, he was riding on a train, and young lady was sitting next to him and had a hymnal open, and she was meditating on some hymns and some scriptures and all that. And so they struck up a conversation. Robert Robinson, I believe is his name, Notice that she was reading his own hymn. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. We are so prone to wander. Notice here he says, oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Verse 11, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Now, there's a difference between just memorizing God's words and then hiding it in our hearts. Now, in particular, the heart, I believe, deals with the conscience. God's commands must make a difference in our conscience. Back in Proverbs 2, notice here again, he says, we are to hide God's commandments with us. We are to hide them in our hearts. Continue on, notice verse 2. Verse 2 here, he says, here we are to have a teachable spirit. If thou see that so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Incline thine ear unto wisdom. It's almost like this. We don't watch TV, at least much at all. So I don't know if they're still on or not, but I do remember those E.F. Hutton commercials. You know, they're talking about investments and, you know, their brokers and comparing notes and all that. And all of a sudden somebody says, well, my broker is E.F. Hutton. And all of a sudden gets quiet. And of course, they end the commercial. When E.F. Hutton speaks, people listen. You know what I think is interesting, though? Supposedly, when E.F. Hutton speaks, people stop and listen. But people don't stop and listen and incline their ears to what God has to say. You see here, it says, incline thine ear unto wisdom. We are to listen. We are to have a teachable spirit. But also he says to apply our hearts to understanding. This is the application of truth. Joshua 1:8, you don't need to turn there. Joshua is told by God himself, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Constantly having God's words in our minds, in our hearts. The reason for that in Joshua 1:8 is that thou mayest observe to do. That's a significant statement. We are observing what God says so that I can put it to practice. But a teachable spirit. Are we teachable regarding God's truth? Consider then verse 3. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding. Notice we are pleading with God for knowledge and understanding. We're crying out. How long has it been since you've asked God for His wisdom? How long has it been since you have asked for wisdom? Of course, James 1:5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. God will never scold you for asking for wisdom. Going back to the example of Solomon again. God says to Solomon, I'm giving you a blank check. You tell me what you want. He didn't ask for wealth. He didn't ask for the life of his enemies. He didn't ask for any of those things. He says, I want an understanding heart so that I can apply my heart to wisdom. An understanding heart to lead your people well. So again, seeking after knowledge, crying after, pleading with God for knowledge and lifting up our voice for understanding. Verse 4 says, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures. You know, over the times of history, you know, you get a gold rush and you know, in California, wherever it is, you know, all of a sudden there's a mad dash for those places so that they can try to find treasure. And I've heard of stories of people looking for gold or silver or whatever. You know, they're trying to strike it rich. They'll look for decades for those things and they don't find it. The Bible itself says that this book is of greater value than any gold or silver, in this case, precious stones, jewels. Notice how important is it a treasure to us? Hold your place here. Notice with me Acts chapter 17. I want you to notice here a positive example of someone who searched the Scriptures. And again, ultimately, I believe we're looking at God's Word because that is God's written wisdom for us today. Acts 17. So we see here the example of the Bereans. When my wife and I had the opportunity and the assignment ultimately to start a Sunday school class at a church in Ohio where we're both on staff. I named the class the Bereans on purpose. There's a reason for that, because the Bible speaks very highly of the Bereans. It says in Acts 17, verse 11, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Even as we've seen the Thessalonian believers, they received the word of God with readiness of heart. But here the Bereans took it another level. Notice in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. Now, I don't necessarily believe that you have to take notes when I preach, but are you checking out, are you checking what I teach to you? Are you making sure that it's the Word of God? Are you searching the Scriptures to see if what you're being told is true? I believe we need to do that for any teaching that we receive. Are we checking to make sure that that it's true according to the Word of God? I challenge you to check me out. I try to make sure it's the Word of God. From time to time, I'll have somebody say, have you ever thought about this? And there's times when I'll listen to a sermon, it's like, I've never noticed that before. You notice here the searching of the Scriptures. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, dividing truth from error, rightly interpreting the Scriptures. How much do you study the Bible? Is Bible reading just an assignment for you? A daily assignment? I want to challenge you to spend time just studying the Bible. Not just reading it as a daily assignment. Well, I got to read these three chapters today. Don't have a checklist mentality regarding the Bible. Search the Scriptures. Try to find silver and the hidden treasures that it has. And I believe that if we do that, we will find God's wisdom. Verse 5. Notice the result here of Proverbs chapter 2, verse 5. Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. I want you to think about the fear of the Lord. There's two aspects of the fear of God. First of all, it's theophobia. You know, when we have a fear of God, because the Bible does say He is a consuming fire. And I don't think we have enough fear of God in our modern day. But there's more to the fear of God than just a paralyzing fear, though. A theophobia. But there's also a reverential awe that inspires us to action. Is that the kind of fear that you have with God? A fear of God. Notice, we will understand the fear of the Lord. But also notice, we'll find the knowledge of God. We will find the knowledge of God. Now, the word knowledge there speaks of experiential knowledge. It's a relationship. It's based on a relationship that we have with God. It's a fellowship that we have with God. There are things that God will reveal to you from His Word that you may have never noticed before as you have a relationship with Him. Well, I just can't get anything out of the Bible. I just don't understand it. How close are you to the author? There's the key. How close are you to the author in order to get something from God's Word? God wants you to desire His wisdom. Notice here again, as we have these conditional things in place, then we will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. We will know God personally. I'll have a relationship with Him. Also, verse 6, notice, for the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Notice here, wisdom, understanding, and knowledge comes from God, not anyone else. True wisdom. I want you to consider this. And I use this as illustrations because this is what I'm living with right now as I'm working on this world religions course and trying to get that taught. And people are searching for wisdom, but they're looking for wisdom in the wrong places. Buddha does not have God's wisdom. You think about Buddha. Siddhartha Gautama was one who was searching for the truth. He left his wife and his child in search of enlightenment. Now, Buddhism says that you're not to harm anyone. And yet he left his wife and child in search of enlightenment. Did he find it? I don't believe so, not according to his own testimony. He did not find God's wisdom. I think of the Catholic Pope. The Catholic Pope does not have God's wisdom. In fact, he will say things contrary to the Word of God. Confucius does not have God's wisdom. A bunch of Chinese philosophy and all that. I think of Muhammad. It's not found in the world's religions. God's wisdom is not found in religion. God's wisdom is found in His Word. But I think also it's not found in education. Think about this. I've said this before. Just because you're hearing teaching does not necessarily mean you're going to have God's wisdom. Wisdom is not taught in a classroom. It's not given by a degree. You know, just because you have a PhD behind your name does not mean you have God's wisdom. There's a lot of ignorant, foolish PhDs in our modern day. Those of you who have been to universities, you understand. There's a lot of ignorant, foolish PhDs. It's not found in education. Our scientists do not have the source of wisdom. Philosophers, all of those sources are not the source of God's wisdom. This is the source. If there's anything contrary to this book, it's not God's wisdom. So again, we understand that God is the one who gives wisdom. Verse 6, if I prioritize and I seek after God's wisdom, it says in verse 6, for the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. It's not found in enlightenment of the world's religions. I'm amazed at how many religions emphasize seeking the enlightenment. That's spiritism. That's a false wisdom. God is the one who gives wisdom. Only as I go to him am I ever going to find his wisdom. Consider also verse 7 and 8. Notice there's stability for life with God's wisdom. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. We're not talking about something that's just earthly, sensual type of wisdom. We're talking about sound wisdom that gives stability. But notice the key there. How do we get God's wisdom? Sound wisdom through living how? A righteous life, right? All right, so here's the reminder. What's the root word of righteous? Doing what is right. Notice, only as I'm doing what is right before God am I able to receive his sound wisdom. Notice also, he's a buckler to them that walk uprightly. A buckler is a system of defense. Notice, God is a defense for those who are living rightly. Verse 8, he keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. I believe the saints refer to anyone who has placed their faith in Jesus Christ. You are a saint today if you've placed your faith in Jesus Christ and him alone. Again, stability for life. But also verse 9 says that there will be a spiritual discernment that we have from God's wisdom. We need discernment today. I am amazed at the point that so many miss regarding the truth. Verse 9, then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. All right, so understanding righteousness. Now, understand how to live rightly. Understand judgment, referring to justice, equity or fairness. Yea, and every good path. We need discernment in these dark days. I believe that with all my heart. We need discernment. I'm amazed at so-called Christians at what they get involved in our modern day, in these last days. Why? Because we don't have God's discernment. We need spiritual discernment. And it's only found in God's wisdom. As we notice here, verses 10 and following, notice there's a protection, a deliverance through God's discretion, through his wisdom. It says in verse 10, when wisdom entereth into thine heart. All right, so when it's part of our conscience, we're not talking about our physical heart, we're talking about our spiritual heart, which is our conscience. And knowledge is pleasant unto the soul. All right, so notice it must be a part of my mind, emotions, and will. It must become a part of me. Not just knowledge. Notice it becomes a part of me. It affects my conscience and how I live my life, how I make my decisions. Notice verse 11. Discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. We need discretion and understanding in these last days. We need it more now than ever before. Discretion. Notice the deliverance that discretion and understanding will give. Now, first of all, it says here in verses 12 through 15, deliverance from the evil man. Notice the description here of the evil man that God wants to deliver us from. To deliver thee from the way of the evil man. There is a way that an evil man will walk. There is a certain path that an evil man will walk. Notice we are to avoid that path. To notice God's discretion, the discretion that God gives, the understanding that God gives will protect us from this evil man, deliver us from this evil man and his way. Notice also the evil man that speaketh froward things. Now, how many of you have used the word froward lately? I've said this. I don't believe we need a new Bible. We just need an understanding of our English language. Froward is not a word we use commonly anymore. It simply means perverse. Notice with me Proverbs chapter 4, verse 24. In many cases, the Bible will define its own words. It says in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 24, put away from thee a froward mouth and what? Perverse lips, but far from thee. The word froward simply means perverse. Corrupt. It also can mean deceptive. Notice, we are to not fall into the deception of this evil man that speaks froward things. Verse 13, notice he leaves the paths of righteousness to walk in the ways of darkness. He chooses to leave the right path so that he can walk in darkness. It's a choice. I think of King Ahab. King Ahab, it says in 1 Kings, not only followed the sins of Jeroboam, this is generations later, not only did he follow the sins of Jeroboam, you know, at the time of the split of the kingdom, but it says, as if it was a light thing to do those things, he also married Jezebel, who was the daughter of Ethbaal of the Zidonians, a worshiper of Baal. In fact, he even built a temple to Baal. Here's supposedly God's king, one of God's kings, the kingdom of Israel, the northern kingdom, and he's building this temple to this false god. Not only that, but then it also says throughout, you know, he rejected the prophecies, the message from Elijah, and he was following the ways of darkness. He made a choice to leave the right path. You think of Ahab and some of these evil men that leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. It's a choice. Verse 14, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked. Notice they enjoy wickedness. It's not just they're tolerating it because of the time that they live. They enjoy this wickedness. What do you entertain yourself with? You know, it used to be that when we heard God's name taken in vain on a television, oh, don't you think back even before that? From what I understand in history, this is a little before me, but when the missionaries were killed by the Alca Indians, I believe it was in Ecuador, the world was shocked. We're not so shocked anymore. Oh, someone else was murdered. Oh, somebody else was murdered. We're not as shocked anymore. I want you to think about this. You know, it used to be when we saw an immoral scene on television, we were shocked. We're not so shocked anymore because now you have cable TV. You can watch whatever you want. Notice they are enjoying, they delight in the frowardness, the perversion of the wicked. How much do you enjoy the wickedness of our day? How much do you enjoy the wickedness? That tells me they entertain themselves with wickedness. If they enjoy it, they're watching it. They're enjoying it, right? Notice, rejoicing to do evil, delighting in the frowardness of the wicked. What we fill entertain ourselves with is very important. Verse 15, whose ways are crooked and they froward or perverse in their paths. Notice we need discretion to protect us, deliver us from the evil man, but also from the immoral woman. Notice verse 16 through 19. To deliver thee. Again, he's addressing this to Rehoboam. To deliver thee from the strange woman. From time to time throughout the early chapters of Proverbs, Solomon talks about the strange woman. Let me remind you that Solomon didn't practice what he's teaching his own son here. He married many strange women. What's a strange woman? That doesn't mean strange as in strange. Or they in the Bible times, they had some strange things that they did. But it means a woman who is worshiping a foreign god, a strange god as far as Israel is concerned. Notice, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words. Notice, she gives insincere praise. I think here of Samson. Samson was seduced to give the secret of his strength. Now, I see this every once in a while, here's this big bodybuilder that portrays Samson or whatever, and I don't think that's what Samson looked like. If Samson looked like that, then they would have thought, well, he just works out. That's why he's so strong. I believe Samson was an average-sized Jewish man because there was a secret about his strength that the Philistines wanted to find. So what happens? Oh, Samson, you're so strong. Oh, you're so strong, Samson. Tell me why you're so strong. Why is day after day, it says Delilah seduced Samson through flattery. Notice here, the strange woman flatters with her words. Verse 17, notice another description of this strange woman, this foreign woman who's serving this foreign god, this woman, sometimes it was a Jewish woman serving a foreign god. Notice she forsakes the guide of her youth. Who's the guide of her youth? Parents, teachers, those who give the word of God. Notice she is forsaking the guide of her youth. She's turning from it. It's a choice that she's making. Notice also she has made a religious commitment. Notice she forgetteth the covenant of her God. She's made a commitment to God and she turns from it. You know what that makes her? Biblically, that makes her an apostate. one who has had the truth and is totally turning from it. She's turning from Elohim. That's what God is here, the name God here. She's turning from Elohim, the creator God, to worship and serve a false god. Verse 18. For her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. Death and destruction are found with a strange woman, this immoral woman. I remember meeting a man in Alabama as we were traveling through that area. As we were out visiting, I was out visiting with a man in a church that we were there visiting. And as we were out and about, we met up with a man who, as he shared his testimony, as I heard the story from this man that I was with, this man was HIV positive from one time with a woman. One time with an immoral woman, he ended up HIV positive. Notice what it says here, verse 18. Her house inclineth unto death, her paths unto the dead. Death and destruction are found with a strange woman. Verse 19. None that go unto her return again. Neither take they hold of the paths of life. Now wait a minute. People come and go from a strange woman. This immoral woman. I want you to consider what this passage is alluding to here. None that go unto her return again. Neither take they hold of the paths of life. Immorality will change your very nature. Think about that. For example, someone who's involved in immoral practices of pornography. I've done some study on that. It actually alters the mind. It changes the mind. It rewires the mind. Notice it changes. Immorality will change a person. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life. Verse 20. Notice, discretion helps us to live a good and righteous life. That thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous. Notice, we are to choose a right path, and God's discretion will enable us to do that. Verse 20, here's why. Notice there is a promise here. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. I think of Noah. I believe that's a true account. I've had people ask, you believe the story of Noah and the flood? I absolutely do. It's in the Bible. I believe it's true. I also see evidence throughout archaeology and geology and all those things. The evidence supports, I believe, the worldwide flood. So you think about this. God says, I'm giving mankind 120 years. That's all he has, 120 years before my judgment falls. So who remained in the land? The wicked or the righteous? Only Noah and his family survived that flood. Notice this promise again. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. But the wicked shall be cut off. That's a Bible term that means killed. In fact, the Old Testament speaks of execution, shall be cut off from among their people. But the wicked shall be cut off. You think of the Grim Reaper. What's the Grim Reaper shown carrying? A sieve. A sickle. Shall be cut off. The Grim Reaper will take their life. Cut off from the earth. Speaking of an early death. And the transgressors shall be rooted out of it. I think of Israel. God gave Israel a promise. If you serve me with all of your heart, then you'll remain in the land. If you do the practices of the Canaanites, you're going to be rooted out. You're going to be removed from the land. So God sent Assyria. God sent Babylon to root them out for at least 70 years as far as the southern kingdom. But you notice here the promise of permanence and consistency if I have discretion from God Almighty. Let me remind you again that I believe you're vulnerable without God's wisdom. You are vulnerable without God's wisdom. How important is wisdom to you? As we close, let us read Proverbs 23. Proverbs chapter 23. I thought about the McIntoshes with this verse as they had a yard sale yesterday. When you have a garage sale or yard sale, why do you put things on the sales? What? It's things you don't want anymore, right? You know, one person's trash is another person's treasure, right, as they say? Notice here this statement in Proverbs 23, verse 23. Buy the truth and sell it not. Now, I don't believe you can pay the price of an education and get wisdom. I don't believe that's what it's talking about here. By the truth, I believe it's talking about paying the price that you need to pay for God's truth. What kind of price are you willing to pay to receive God's truth? Oh, I might have to get up early in the morning, I guess. I might have to get up in the morning before work or school or whatever so that I can spend time with God. Pay the price. Buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. All right, so if you're selling the truth, and by the way, a lot of people have sold out pretty cheap for the truth. I've known of people who literally sell their soul out for some money, for fame, for popularity. They'll sell their soul. It's pretty cheap. Notice, buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom, instruction, and understanding. You know, if you put those things up for sale, then they aren't important to you. How important is God's wisdom to you? And let me remind you again here this morning. There's absolutely no way you can have God's wisdom until you know the source of wisdom, and that's Jesus Christ. That's what the New Testament says. Jesus Christ was made unto us wisdom. There is no way to have wisdom other than a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not through religion. It's not going through church, going to church, being baptized, none of those things. You see, until we have a saving relationship with Jesus Christ, you cannot know God's wisdom. The best you can enjoy is some wisdom or teaching that someone may have for you. Have you placed your faith in Jesus Christ? You must admit, first of all, that you are a sinner before a holy God. Well, yeah, I've done some things wrong. No, we're talking about a sinner before a holy God. Remember, we've seen in the book of Revelation, all it takes is one lie to send us to a lake of fire. One lie. That's all. You can keep the whole law and yet offend at one point, you're guilty of all. That's what James says. Have you placed your faith in Jesus Christ? You must recognize you're a sinner and realize that the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is the only way to care for your sin. It's not through any religion. It's through a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's Jesus, your Savior today. He is the source of all wisdom. Father, I want to thank you for this opportunity to study your word here today. Just thank you for the protection, the deliverance that your wisdom provides. Lord, I pray if somebody here today does not know Christ as Savior, Lord, that today would be the day of salvation. Lord, they might be trusting in some religion, some religious leader. Father, that's not the source of wisdom. We saw in this passage that you are the only source of wisdom. So God, I pray that you'd help us to understand these things here today. Father, I pray that you'd help us to prioritize, to buy the truth even as Solomon writes, to buy the truth and sell it not. Lord, to seek after wisdom, knowledge, understanding from you, and not just in education. I pray in these things in Jesus' name. Amen.